Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Americans, rise, put your hand over your heart. We have no leadership. We are the country. America, arise. America, stop your cars. America, stop your cars and rise. We are America, not the empty skirts running this country who are nowhere to be found when we need them. Not Bush, not Obama, nobody. There is no American leadership. There is only American people. God bless America. The leadership of this country has abdicated. Abdicated, Mr. Bush. There is no president. There is only the people. Stand up and be counted, America. Show the leaders that you are America. Day three of the Islamic terror in India. I want to focus on the positive right now in the Savage Nation. I've come away from my vacation to be with you today on the Savage Nation because I, like you, if you are a conscious human being, have had my eyes glued on this unfolding tragedy for 3 days now. And within this folding tragedy, there is an unfolding miracle. There are many miracles that have unfolded inside this tragedy, but I see only one at this time because I'm only a person. I'm not God. The miracle that I see within this tragedy is the miracle of the survival of this little two-year-old boy whose parents were bound and slaughtered in front of his eyes by the Muslim terrorists, the Islamists, the radical Islamists, the words that are not allowed to be said. These subhumans slaughtered his parents in front of his eyes. Now, the news media is reporting that this little two-year-old boy was spared by these Muslim terrorists. But these quislings are wrong. Sources within India tell the Savage Nation that his young, innocent religious mother held him in her arms as she was slaughtered, and the child crawled out from beneath his dead mother with his dead mother's blood all over his clothing. This little child was found crying in the hallway when his Indian nanny, Sandra Samuel, opened the door from the room in which she was hiding and quickly grabbed the child and fled. The child's birthday is tonight. He is 2 years of age. Tonight, he is 2 years of age. I have set up a fund for this child on michaelsavage.com. It does not go to me. I don't want the money. I want you to send money for this child's education and for his care. And the addresses of the little child's defense or his fund, I don't know what to call it, okay, is on michaelsavage.com. The fund for the surviving child of the slaughtered rabbi and his wife are to be found on michaelsavage.com. And we'll talk more about that today. But again, I want to go back to the miracle of this child's survival. Please do not believe the lies that the quisling vermin in the media are putting out, that these fanatic Muslim terrorists killed his parents and then spared him because they're so kind. Sources in India have told the Savage Nation that as his young, innocent religious mother was slaughtered, she held a child in her arms and she fell to the ground holding the child. That is why he was found with blood all over his clothing and why he was found alive. It was not because these vermin spared the child. The minute I heard about this child's survival, the story that came to my mind is the story of Moses, Moses himself in the reeds. I remember it from my childhood. The Pharaoh gave his order to all of his people, every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile River, but let every girl live. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid the boy for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, and she coated the basket with tar and pitch. Then she placed the little boy in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to the child. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. The baby was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter then said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This child's name is Moses. This child in India has a name. His birthday is tonight. He is 2 years of age. I believe that there is a divine life ahead for him. I believe that while we mourn the loss of his parents, Rabbi Gavriel and Rivka Holzberg, slaughtered mercilessly by these Islamic subhumans, we must do everything we can to benefit their young children who remain and to rebuild the Chabad Center in Mumbai, which they had dedicated their lives to doing. And this goes beyond Jewish. This goes to all the listeners of this show, whether you be Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, it doesn't matter. Do something for this child. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I have several questions for you on the Savage Nation today. One, do you believe we have any leadership in the United States of America? Two, how should the United States respond to this? Are you offended that Bush didn't immediately address the nation on the subject of the massacre? Are you shocked that Obama didn't immediately address the nation on the subject of the massacre in India? Do you think the media has done a poor job or a good job of covering this? Is there anything appropriate that we can say about this situation that you haven't heard yet in all of the media coverage? And finally, in the opening of my show today, I want to ask you this. Will it be inappropriate for me to refer to the murderers as Islamists or as radical Islamists or as radical Muslims or as Muslim terrorists? After all, I really don't want to offend anybody. I want to become like the rest of the people in the media. I want to call them gunmen. I want to call them gunmen, as though it was the guns that slaughtered the innocent, not the men. And as though the gunmen were not motivated by some fanaticism in their hearts and in their minds. And that's why I will stay today for you on the Savage Nation and take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. There is a fund for the little boy, the surviving child of the slaughtered rabbi. He has no parents. His parents, who were innocent people, they were good people. They were young people who had a mission in life. In essence, they were like Jewish missionaries. If you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. They sacrificed the comforts of life to live in India, not to convert anybody, but to add joy to people's lives. And after I saw that the child survived, and his name was Moses, and his birthday is tonight, I knew that there's something divine in this whole story. And we'll work on that today on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mozart's Requiem on the Savage Nation for the souls of those slaughtered by these fanatics, these soulless subhumans in India. This is not the end. This is, of course, a continuum. This began in the 7th century, and I don't know if and when this will ever end. I do know this, that you'll be slaughtered too. You will be slaughtered too. Your children will be slaughtered too, unless you awaken to the fact that you are the target of millions of these fanatics. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it, it's only a matter of time until something happens to you or someone you love. And it won't be in India, I can guarantee you. When we have such empty skirts running this country that they won't even come out on a Thanksgiving weekend and say a word to the American people. We expect this from George Bush. We know this. We know who he is. But didn't you expect there would be change from Obama? After all, Obama came out last week to talk about the bailout and how he was for it. When it comes to money, he was there for the change, your pocket change, to make sure his friends on Wall Street, his contributors, got the change that they can shake out of your pockets. But where is the great Obama, the new leader, was supposed to have today? Where is he? Can't give a speech from his house in Chicago? He's too busy? Where are all the spiritual people around Obama today? Where's the Reverend Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam? Cat got his tongue? Where's Reverend Wright, the hater of America today? Can't lead the flock today, Reverend Wright? So it falls upon me, Michael Savage, to be here for you, my listeners. I don't know how big the audience is, nor does it matter. I don't care if it's 100,000 people listening to me at any time or 10 million people. It doesn't matter. If it's 5 people listening to the show, it wouldn't matter to me. I took time off from my vacation because there is no vacation. How could you vacate unless you're a psychopath, unless you have no brain? What vacate? What, are you going to empty your mind of what's going on in the world? You're going to empty your mind without looking at your own eyes, what's going on before your eyes, that subhumans have come back and are absolute duplicates of Hitler? Make no mistake about it. Their skin may be dark, their eyes may be brown, but these are descendants of the same mindset as Hitler. That is why there is a name for them. That is why the name Islamofascism has great resonance and great meaning. These are the descendants of Hitler. They went around the hotel. They had the names of Americans and British, and of course the Jews they sought out. Now, if they were only after the Jews and the Americans and the British because of our evil policies in Iraq and Afghanistan, then why did these practitioners of the religion of peace spray their machine guns into the crowd in the street in India, killing hundreds? They didn't know who they'd hit. I'm sure they hit Hindus. They may have even hit Muslims. So don't tell me this is about Israel or Jews or Americans or Brits. This is about Islamic fascists who are trying to terrorize India right now into giving over Kashmir to the Muslim side. I gave you a history of the formation of Pakistan the other day in the Savage Nation. On Wednesday, I told you over 1 million innocent people died, Hindus and Muslims alike, as a result of that fanatic maniac, Mahatma Gandhi. But what you should understand is this. While the Muslims were clamoring for a nation of their own within India, and they had been doing so for a long period of time. After they were given this territory, and after they were given their own borders in the form of Pakistan, they still continue to agitate and to cause terror. Now they want Kashmir. Whether you know it or not, there's an analogy here. The analogy is that Pakistan is the West Bank of India. And it's an analogy. After all, we hear the Palestinians will be satisfied if they are given the so-called West Bank of Israel. Judea and Samaria, of course, have been part of biblical Judaism since biblical times. But okay, you say, well, I'll do anything for peace. Let's give the Palestinians Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, then they'll stop. Well, did they stop after they got Gaza? No, they used Gaza to fire rockets into Israel. And if you give them the West Bank, there will be not a Jew left in the Middle East. It's exactly the same in India. The Muslims were given Pakistan, and now they've agitated for 50 years for Kashmir. And if they got Kashmir, what's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Because this just came out, and I posted as many stories as anyone in the country has on this unfolding nightmare in India. It's all on michaelsavage.com for your reading over the weekend. One of the most interesting articles came from the Scotsman, entitled was Computer Expert Age 36, The Mastermind. Now, I'm not going to read this man's name because as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what his name is. He's an IT whiz kid, and he's a member of this and behind the bombings in the past in Delhi, Jaipur, Bangalore, and other cities in India. It says that their goal is very clear. Their goal is very, very clear. And that is to convert Hindus to Islam. According to this article, and I didn't write it, the group that carried out these attacks, according to the Indian Prime Minister, he said it is evident that the group which carried out these attacks based outside the country had come with single-minded determination to create havoc in the commercial capital of the country. But what is it that they wanted to do? What they wanted to do was very clear. They want to turn India into a Muslim nation. Ladies and gentlemen, awaken from your slumber. You are all asleep. Jingle bells, Savage. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Are mishkavo vi amod li goralo li keitsa yamin venomare amen.
People who did this have no soul. They doesn't matter whether you're Indian, whether you're Thai, whether you're Jewish, Christian, doesn't matter. They just kill you because you represent everything that is good. They do not discriminate. They don't care. This isn't rational. This is pure, unadulterated evil. And if I was standing there, first of all, I'm Jewish, and if they knew I was Jewish, I'd be dead. But if I was carrying my children or if I was walking with an elderly person, they don't care. It doesn't matter. They would have shot me dead. There is no remorse in their heart. This is an evil ideology that is that is unfortunately indiscriminate. It does not matter. It does not matter whether you're on the left, on the right. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you were there and you looked American, and that means you were dead.
That's one of the men who survived the hotel slaughter in India. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And I want to read a passage from Exodus in the Bible. If any harm follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Shall I read that for you again, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, or have you forgotten it? Because if you have forgotten it, I suggest you reread Exodus, or else you will give one eye and then you will give the other eye. You will give one arm, then you will give the other arm. For how long has the West given an arm, a leg, an eye to these madmen and placated them? Well, for as long as you can remember, at least for centuries. There was a time when Europe stood up to this scourge and drove them back out of Europe. But those times are long gone, as you well know. Now it's called Londonistan. As you well know, there are regions of Paris that the police cannot go into. As you know, the Serbs tried to put up a stand against radical Islam in southern Europe, and Bill Clinton bombed them into submission. So don't assume this is not going to come to a neighborhood near you. New York City, WOR Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you for being live and not best of. We are in World War III. You keep saying it, and don't give up on this country. We are out to lunch. God bless you. God bless little Moses. And let me say one thing. What is going on in this country when they're stampeding old men at a doorway at Walmart to buy toys? Jingle bells, jingle bells. God bless you. You're way ahead of your game, and please don't give up. Keep screaming out before it's too late.
Thank you, my friend. I hear you. Little Moses, fund for the surviving child of the slaughtered rabbi and his beautiful wife. Go to michaelsavage.com. Not a penny goes to me. It goes directly to the Moshe Holtzberg Foundation in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm not taking any money from it because I don't want to touch it. It's not for me. It's for the child's life. I got to tell you a little personal story today. I was agitated all day watching this, as you must be. I mean, anyone listening to this show today, I can guarantee you, is not a Walmart shopper. Now, I'm nothing against Walmart, but you're not in Walmart right now. Maybe you just came from Walmart after stampeding someone for a television set. I wouldn't know. But I assume you're a person with a brain, and you care what is going on in your country and your world. And you've been watching the news for 3 days now, and you see an unfolding holocaust, an unfolding nightmare, and you want it to end, and you don't see it ending, and you don't know what to do because there's no leadership in America. No president, no president-elect, no leader of the Senate, no leader of the House, nobody. They're all out to lunch. So you say, where's the country? Where's the leadership in the country? Well, I'll let you figure that one out. But the fact of the matter is, I know that I have an audience, and for my audience, I represent something important. And my audience represents something important to me. I made some calls today when I saw that the child survived. I first of all, I was praying that there'd be no more slaughter, but then one was dying after the other, and then I saw this poor little rabbi and his wife. I mean, they're innocent people. They're like lambs. They never hurt anybody. What did they ever do to anybody? These are not people who take money under a religious guise and buy themselves a yacht. These were not the type who con people for money to buy themselves a vacation. I know this type of person. They live like church mice. They live poor. I know this kind of person. All they do is study the Bible and study the Word of God and try to transmit it to the next person and try to be kind. And never usually this type of person never says a bad word to anybody else. So I reached their head rabbi in New York today through a series of calls. I had watched him give a news conference today on Fox News, Rabbi Yehuda Krinsky from Brooklyn, and I was amazed at his control that he didn't show any anger. And all he asked was for, he didn't ask for very much, just condolences and quietude. So when I reached the rabbi afterwards, I said, Rabbi, I said, I was amazed at your lack of anger and your control, and I only hope that I can do the same tonight on the radio. And he said to me, just because I didn't show anger doesn't mean that I don't feel anger. And I hope I'm not divulging something I shouldn't say, but the point of the story is whatever you want to make of it. The point of the story is whatever you want to make of it. All I can say to you is there was a man in America who specifically tried to protect and warn the Jewish community. He was then killed. He was gunned down and killed in the streets of New York City. And he had a slogan which went like this, every Jew a 22. Every Jew a 22. He meant that if the Jew hasn't learned from the Nazi Holocaust what is coming again and again and again, then he'll be killed again and again and again. And his message was simple, which was that a Jew should be armed. A Jew should take lessons on how to use a weapon. It's not enough to pray to God, because if the Israelis had only prayed to God, there'd be no Israel. There wouldn't be an Israel today if there was no military and no special forces and no commandos and no air force. So the Israeli learned, at least they knew, I hope to God enough of them still know it, that it's fine to have a Bible in one hand, but you better have an Uzi in the other. And I am telling you as an American, it's time for you to get armed, Jewish or not Jewish. I don't really care what your background is. I don't care if you're right or left, black or white. It doesn't matter to me. Only an armed nation will survive what's coming in this country. Now, why do I say that? I say that because I know common sense. These cowards are the lowest form of humanity. They're brave only when they have the drop on someone else, and the other someone else is cowering and frightened and has no weapons. You take a look at them. Look at these people. They rush in with submachine guns and grenades. What kind of courage does it take to round up unarmed people and to start shooting them? It takes no courage. It takes insanity. It takes a soulless human being to do that. But let's put aside what they are. Let's ask ourselves a question. What if a number of the people in that hotel had been able to bear arms and carry a weapon? So when the terrorist knocked on the hotel door and the person hiding inside looked through the peephole and saw one of these subhumans outside with a machine gun, he had a choice to make. He could say nothing. He could load it, cock his gun. And when he thinks the time is right, he quickly pulls the door open and he shoots the terrorist between the eyes. Now think about what effect that would have had if 20 men had guns and were able to do it. It couldn't be done in India because they were disarmed a long time ago, if you follow the drift of what I am saying. There was a time in Germany before Hitler when the Germans were allowed to have weapons. But then Hitler came along, and one of his first laws was the seizure of all weapons from the German people, precisely to prevent an uprising against his breed of government. Fidel Castro, the good friend of Sean Penn, did the same thing in Cuba. One of the first laws that the Castro criminals enacted in Cuba was to seize the weapons of the Cuban people so there could be no uprising against these illegitimate communist ghouls in Cuba. Tell that to your friend Sean Penn from Ross in Hollywood, California. Tell it to him. Tell him about the rules in Cuba, why there's such peace in Cuba. But let's go to America. We have a Second Amendment. It was given to us, or we gave it to ourselves, our ancestors did, however you want to put it. And in the whole history of America, are you aware of the fact that you've lived through historic times in many ways, including that in this year of 2008, for the first time in the history of this great republic, the U.S. Supreme Court reviewed the Second Amendment to determine once and for all whether or not the Second Amendment implied or gave you the right, personal right to bear arms, and the Supreme Court ruled just 5-4, again, the very same anti-Americans, the same anti-American cabal on the Supreme Court, by a hairbreadth, try to take away your right to protect yourself. Ruth Bad Girl Ginsburg, David Souter, and the others, they said you have no right to protect yourself. They said you have to hide and cower in the basement and wait to be killed. They said leave it to the government to protect you. Well, let me ask you something. Where was the government on 9/11? I know that's a harsh question to ask. There is no government when it comes to terrorism. There's only you. I don't think you understand that yet. There is no government when it comes to terrorism. Terrorism can be anywhere. Terrorism can be everywhere. Terrorism is anywhere. And terrorism is anywhere. That means be vigilant. Be vigil. That means be aware. That means expect to protect yourself at any time. That means walk like a human, not like a moron. Don't walk like an American stampeding into Walmart to buy a television. Don't be like the idiots in the malls today who have no reason to live. They may as well be an animal, a pack animal with a saddle on their back. That's the way I look at it. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to tell you that's how I see the world. I have nothing but contempt for people like this, that their whole life is buying some piece of garbage they don't even need. But let's put aside my contempt for the average man. Let me tell you what I'm saying in other words. I'll put it to you in another way. Only vigilance will protect you. That means be ready. One of the first rules, and I'm not a martial artist, but I study all forms of self-defense, including the mental, which is, of course, the ultimate form of self-defense. The first rule of self-defense is always be prepared for an attack, mentally and physically. Always be prepared for an attack. That means if you're a woman and you go into a mall, you've been told, watch your step in a parking lot. You've been told before you unlock your doors, for God's sakes, look around you in a parking lot. See if there's anyone lurking around looking to jump in and grab your keys and take you hostage. Let's put aside terrorism. Let's talk only about our own homegrown animals that are patrolling America right now. So it goes down to the simplest thing, be prepared, be vigilant. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that to be armed. You must get a weapon. You must have a weapon. You must get any weapon that is legal to have and keep it in your house and not worry so much that you're going to use it to kill yourself. If you're a gunophobe or a gun neurotic, I can't help you, then you shouldn't get a weapon. And many liberals, by the way, are against guns because they're afraid they'll shoot themselves, or their wife will shoot them for being the weaklings they are, or one of their drugged up children will take the gun and accidentally shoot themselves. That's the real reason they're afraid of guns, liberals. So you got to understand, it's not about guns, it's about a mind, and what kind of mind you have, and whether you're prepared to understand the danger you're in the world, that we have no president right now, that President Bush and the rest of the government has abdicated. They may have abdicated. You know what the word abdicate means? Well, I'm sure it's a word that our president would have trouble with. He'd have to rehearse it a few times because it's more than one syllable. Abdicate. President Bush has abdicated, but where is President-elect Obama at a time of national crisis like this? The answer is he's another figurehead. That's why the Clintonistas were put in power, because he's their doorman. You thought that he really meant he was going to bring change. What you didn't know was that he was lying to you. They just found somebody who could convince you left-wing lunatics that there was some hope that you could really wreck America. Well, thank God you can't. Because the national security team that's in place is actually more conservative than the one Bush has right now, in a strange way. We might actually have a stronger military than we have right now, once we get rid of this useless idiot from Texas. I'll be right back.
Savage.
See some pictures of him where he was rescued. He appeared to be covered in blood, but we understand he's okay.
We understand that he is now with his grandparents, the wife's parents in Mumbai, and that he is said to be okay. And the little boy, unfortunately, was taken out with blood-soaked pants. It doesn't appear that he was injured, but we can only imagine the horror that he witnessed.
Laura Engel, live in Brooklyn. Laura, thank you very much. Tragedy at Walmart. A worker opening the store for early morning shoppers caught in the mayhem. This is unreal. The chaotic scene coming up. Plus, an update on the shooting. Just happened.
All right, we got it. So here in America, people are stampeding to buy a television set. And the people with a brain understand what's going on in India right now. And it's not over. It's going on for 3 days now. Again, I'm trying to find the positive. To me, this is the story of Moses in the Bible. And the child's name is Moshe Holtzberg, which means Moses. Moshe means Moses. He came out of this alive. I believe by what I've heard that the subhumans, after slaughtering his mother and father, this young, beautiful couple, these religious people and others inside the Jewish area, the Jewish school, they did not know that the child was alive. The mother sheltered the child in her arms. It's reminiscent to me of stories I've read about the Holocaust, when people crawled out from beneath a pile of the dead after the Nazis were mass slaughtering people and throwing them into mass graves. There were stories of babies held in the arms of parents who were rescued later by local villagers, or of individuals who did not get shot who were given up for the dead and crawled out from a living grave. It's hard to believe this is going on right in front of our eyes. But it is history repeating itself right in front of our eyes. We're watching a slow Holocaust in the world being conducted now, not by Germans with armbands marching to the umpa-pa sounds of the 30s, but to radical Islamists marching to a different drummer. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I read you now a small piece from Joshua in the Bible. And it's only two lines, and it says, "And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies." And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stayed in the midst of heaven and hast not to go down about a whole day? And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And then the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. When are we going to avenge ourselves of our enemies? When, oh when, oh when, will America be proud again? New York City, Pearl, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your thoughts, please.
Yes, good evening, Michael.
President-elect Obama is invisible. President Bush is invisible. Where were they? Where was their address to this nation? This is India's 9/11. The media should have played our 9/11 tape and the current massacre in India simultaneously on TV. This
Pearl, why do you think I took away my vacation and came in today? I've been waiting for a speech from one of these empty skirts myself. But I have long said there is no central government in America. There's only a central band of crooks who know how to rob the taxpayer of every penny we have to bail out their crooked friends on Wall Street. Has one bum on Wall Street who busted out one company paid one dime yet? Have they given up a house, a boat, a plane in collateral for what they've done to their workers and to the pension funds they've sacked? No. But you have to ask yourself why. The answer can be found in the silence of Bush and Obama. There's your answer. What more do you need to know? We don't have leadership. Okay, we don't have leadership. We have rulers. We are living, in essence, in a form of soft despotism in America right now. And that's why I don't want to focus on it, Pearl. We, the people, are the leaders of this country. Do you understand that, Pearl?
Yes, Michael, I am a child.
Pearl, by talking with each other, we become the leader of America. We are the leaders of ourselves. We don't need empty skirts from Chicago to get up and give us some mumbo jumbo that some idiot from Chicago University wrote for them. Thank you for the call. By the way, the next caller and all through the next hour, I'm going to give away free copies of my book, Psychological Nudity, for the holidays. I want you to have it for the holidays. Dallas, Texas, Utah. I have so many wonderful callers that I think I'm just going to go to the callers. Utah, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to say, for other talk show hosts, it's a job for them. But for you, it's a calling and it's a passion. And you truly care about this country and its future. And it's just a breath of fresh air every night I listen to you. I listen to you for 3 hours with my father here in Utah. You're the only outlet that we have left in this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I hope that I can remain healthy for this show. And I hope that Nancy Pelosi and Barack Hussein Obama don't steal from you the voice that you want to listen to.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Gentlemen of the Savage Nation, please rise. Please put your hand over your heart and show yourself that there is still an America. Although we lack a president and we lack a central government, we still have ourselves. God bless America. God bless America. This is the Savage Nation. I'm trying to find something positive to say to you today. And in this massive slaughter of the innocents, I see a miracle, at least one miracle. I see the miracle of the survival of a single child whose birthday of all times happens to be tonight. He is 2 years of age. The little boy whose parents were mercilessly slaughtered by the subhumans in India. He has a name. His name is Moshe, and the name means Moses. His parents, as you know, Rabbi Gavriel and Rivka Holzberg, amongst hundreds of others, who were injured, and about 150 now, God knows how many, were killed. Jew, non-Jew, Muslim, I don't know who was killed. Now, the Muslim terrorists who have done this and are doing this are so smart that they singled out Jews amongst others in order to make it look as though it was about Jews in Israel. That's how smart the enemy is. Make no mistake about your enemy. Your enemy is very smart. Your enemy is 1,000 times smarter than the wonderful geniuses who are running our government, in my opinion. They've got the propaganda down fine. Because it really isn't about Jews. What it is about jealousy. Ask yourself why India thrives while Pakistan languishes. Ask yourself why the Pakistanis are still a relatively backward nation, while India in the last 10 years has transformed itself into something that the world has looked upon with awe. Why have the Indians, the Hindus, been able to do this while their neighbors in neighboring Pakistan, which is largely a Muslim country, have not been able to do this? Why is it that the Jews of Israel have turned the desert into a flowering land, a modern land, while their neighbors, the Palestinians, have spent the last 50 years thinking only about slaughter? I don't know. Do you have an answer for this? Is it something in the code of the mind? Is it something in the teachings of the children? Is it something that we don't know? I don't have an answer to that. I do know that there's an answer to this. And there is a miracle in this. And that story is the miracle of the story of Moses and the reeds, which I told you earlier on the Savage Nation. When I heard this morning that the parents were slaughtered of this Jewish kid, the baby, and he was found by his nanny, who, by the way, has a name, Sandra Samuel, and in addition to raising funds for the child on michaelsavage.com, I'm going to try to find out how to reach her and send her a very healthy donation for her life. I guarantee you she doesn't have anything either. She's an Indian nanny. So she must be the poorest of the poor working amongst the poor Jews who are there, because these are the poor Jews who work there. These are not the people who cash in on religion. These are the people who live as poor as church mice. And she has a name, and so the child has a name. The child's name, as I say, is Moses. And there's a fund for the child that was set up, and you can find it on michaelsavage.com. You can click right there to donate online. It does not go to me. It does not go through me. I don't touch the money. I don't care what you give. Give it to the child, because he apparently has a sick brother or a sick sibling who was not slaughtered as well, and they have no money either to raise them. But these subhumans, these Islamic terrorists, slaughtered his parents in front of his eyes. And although the Quislings in the American media and the European media are saying the Muslim terrorists spared the child, that's a complete lie. Sources in India tell the Savage Nation that his young, innocent, religious mother held him in her arms as she was killed, and that he crawled out from beneath her after she was dead and the terrorist had left the room with his mother's blood all over his clothing. And he was heard crying out in the hallway when his Indian nanny, Sandra Samuel, heard him crying and opened the door from the room in which she was hiding, quickly grabbed this little boy, Moses, and fled. And that's why I want to tell you that I think when I heard this story, all I could think of is the story of Moses and the reeds and the divineness, the divinity of that story. And I felt that this child, the survivor, has a divine life ahead of him. And so I reached out and made some phone calls, and I reached the head rabbi in Brooklyn of this particular element of the Jewish community that these children worked for. And I told him that I think the child has a divine life ahead of him. Because if you look at the story of Moses in the reeds and of the mother hiding the Jewish child who was going to be killed by the Egyptians in a papyrus basket, coating it with tar and pitch to hide the child in the reeds of the Nile River. And then the child is then raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, the Pharaoh's own daughter. goes down to the Nile and sees the basket among the reeds and hears the baby crying. She knows it's a Hebrew baby. And she has the baby nursed. And then eventually the woman takes the Pharaoh's daughter, takes the baby. And she adopts Moses. The Egyptian adopts Moses. She names him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And to me, the miracle of this child's survival is the story of Moses. And so we are living in miraculous times. In the midst of all this tragedy and sadness, I have to look for the positive or I'll go insane. I will tell you the truth. There's only so much pain. There's only so much mayhem. There's only so much madness. There's only so much heartbreak that any of us can take. And when we have no leadership, when we have a country without leadership, not a senator, you think of the 100 senators, one would give a speech today. Of the 400 people in the House of Representatives, they're all our leaders when it comes to ripping us off and taking our money. Not a word from the empty gourd. The gourds are all full. The gourds are all filled with our treasures. They've stolen from us every penny they could possibly take. And so they have no need for us. They have nothing but contempt for us. And so they don't even speak to us in a time like this. So it falls upon ordinary men like me to stumble through a day like today when I was supposed to basically be as dazed as the next man, doing nothing with myself, saying I have to go on the air. I had to ask the poor guys who work for me to come in today. They have families too. And they were kind enough, all of them, to come in today so we can be here for you. I mean, we could have done a best of. But we have to be here today. We have to speak with you. You have to speak with us. We have to look for some solutions to this so that we can protect ourselves. Because if it's anything we have learned thus far, it is that the government cannot protect us from the randomness of violence conducted by subhumans. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the slaughter in India and what it may mean for you, and the lack of leadership in the Western world, that there is apparently a power vacuum, that it seems to me as though the central government has abdicated. They're not here. Well, they were here during the crisis that is apparently over, the financial crisis. They were here to pick our pockets. But when it comes to a thing like this, you'd think Bush would speak for 1 minute. Obama, the new leader, would speak for 30 seconds out of his busy schedule. But not a word from any of them. I refer you to a chapter called Islamists Are Winning. Believe it or not, in my book Psychological Nudity, although it's largely personal stories, there are a few political chapters. And one of them is entitled Islamists Are Winning. And I'm not going to read it to you right now. I'll read you a few sentences from it. And I say this. It is only a matter of time until the government finally recognizes that they're not going to win this battle through rhetoric alone. That's from page 117. It is only a matter of time until you, the listener, realize that you're losing the war. The radical Muslims are winning the war. The radical Muslims are winning the war. By the way, the head of CAIR has been quoted as saying, sure, I'd like to see Sharia law in America. Now, he's not going to force it down your throat. He says he's going to do it by slow increments. They're winning. They're winning, I wrote. I then go back to a history lesson in the chapter Islamists Are Winning, which I won't bore you with. But I conclude in the middle by saying the parallels between Nazism and Islamism are overwhelming. Yet the subject is a taboo. Last March, Matthias Kunzel, German historian and author of Jihad and Jew Hatred, Islamism, Nazism, and the Roots of 9/11, was to give a lecture at the University of Leeds in Britain. The university authorities canceled the lecture after threats from Muslim students. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm warning you that you're losing the war against radical Islam. They're putting a noose around your neck and they're tightening it. Now, most people don't want to talk about the radical Islamists. They'd rather put their heads in the sand. But you know what? They're repeating history. And then I show you how they're repeating the history of World War II. And of course, all you have to do is look to the ACLU and find out how it's all going down. It's in Psychological Nudity. I advise you to read it. New York City, W.O.R. Allen, go ahead, please.
Hello, Mike. This is Allen. I heard you talk earlier saying that there's no leadership, but I remember right after 9/11, about a week or so after that, George Bush went on the air in front of Congress and said, there's things that we in the leadership are going to have to do that we can't tell you. You're going to have to trust us. I suspect.
Well, we trusted him. Oh, yeah. We trusted him. We trusted him on the war on terror. We're still in Iraq. We trusted him on the economy. The country is bankrupt. So now you want us to trust him on the international war on terror, too?
Why not? What else do we got? First of all, the only reason why this country is up.
Well, what you don't understand, my friend, is that a leader gets up in front of people when they're confused, when they're frightened, and he tries to calm them. He tries to make sense out of mayhem. That's what a leader's job is. Don't you understand that, Alan? Why have we heard nothing from him or Obama? Can you explain that?
Why have we heard nothing from Bush or Obama? Because Bush is doing something that he can't tell American people about it.
Oh, he's on a secret plan. I get it. In addition to saving the economy, he's saving the world from Islamic terrorism. I'm sorry, Alan. I didn't have your insights. Thank you. I had no idea he was working on a secret plan at Camp David. There it is. I missed that. Bush is working on a secret plan. He's so busy, he doesn't have time to even address the nation. That's it. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Boston, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Mike. This is a grim comment, but this is the only one I can come up with. This presidential election, what we saw is the beginning here. What we saw in India was no accident as far as the timing goes.
I know. In 93, shortly after Clinton took over, the fanatic Muslims attacked the World Trade Center the first time. As you well know, shortly after Bush took over, we were hit on 9/11 in 2001. Shortly thereafter, he took over. And now they've not even waited for Obama to take over to strike somewhere in the world. The fact that they struck in India indicates to me, though, that this country is fairly well protected. Wouldn't you say that, Frank?
We don't know exactly who's here and what they're plotting, Mike. We don't know that. We don't know how many cells are here, what's going on. I would say on the basis, you're right. But I don't know if I could say that for sure. I don't know how much of it.
Well, of course not. But why did they choose India, and why did they not choose a target in America?
Well,
if these guys were so well organized, which apparently they were, this was a military-level operation. They say there were probably 100. To me, they looked like they were trained by a military organization. They were heartless, soulless ghouls slaughtering indiscriminately. But they were well-trained. They were using BlackBerries to communicate. It's the story just came out that two of them were from England, from Leeds in England. Several of them were communicating. They found their cell phone records in Urdu to Pakistan. So there's an organization going on here. But, Frank, why did they choose India? Because apparently India doesn't have the security that we have.
They don't have the security we have, Mike, and this is what the yellow bums do. They look for soft targets, and they create mass mayhem, and the media goes with it, and they blow it, and it causes...
Don't you first have to identify the enemy and demonize the enemy in order to alert the people to, A, who the enemy is, and make them ready to fight them? What is the hands off and the kid's gloves on these vermin, these subhuman vermin? Why can't we say who they are? Where is it written we can't say who they are and where they're from? What is everyone dancing so delicately around the I word?
Well, we don't even want to go after pirates in Somalia, Mike. How are we going to deal with these kind of...
That's right. Our Navy is impotent. It can't fire a shot. They have that putz running the U.S. Navy who gives speeches, and they didn't even go after the pirates. You're right. What's that all about?
Well, again, we send the wrong signals, and with this guy Obama being elected, sends even a more dangerous signal.
So you're thinking that they smell weakness, that he's a sort of an appeaser, and they figured they'd strike it in the eye. I mean, you could make that conclusion. I wouldn't say that, but I would not say it either. I mean, I don't know what to say at this point. All I know is we do not have a government to protect us when we need them. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that?
Mike, and I would tell you it's just like the shark smelling the blood in the water. It's the same kind of analogy to me.
Right. They smell weakness. All they see is crying and fear. And by the way, there's no retaliation. Why is it that there's no retaliation? They have no mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers in England and in Pakistan that couldn't be killed?
Savage.
Story of Moses and the Reeds is a story I've been trying to tell you today. I'm trying to look for something positive in the midst of this sadness and tragedy. But thus far, there's been no retribution, you'll notice. It's always a game of we lose, they win. When do they lose? Tell me when they lose. Tell me when the other side loses. Tell me when the other side grieves. Tell me when the other side begins to cower in their huts or their houses. Tell me when the other side starts to fear us. Tell me, tell me, tell me, oh Lord, tell me when the day will come and we have a leader who says, my children, this is how I will lead you across the Red Sea. This is how I will part the waters of the Red Sea, and this is how we will defeat the scourge of radical Islam. Oh, tell us, dear leader, when they will hide in their homes. Tell us when they will cower in fear at the thought of us. Tell us, oh Lord, when that day will come, because right now the day has not come. All we have are the craven quislings in the media looking to blame everybody on earth. There wasn't enough hotel security. India wasn't prepared. All of the brave men and women in the media condemning the Indian commandos. By the way, two of their leaders died the other day in a daring counterattack. But they get no credit for that from the vermin in the media. Instead, it's their fault that this happened. No, it's not their fault. It's not their fault at all. Okay? You know whose fault it is. You know exactly what's going on. You know exactly what is going on. Victoriaville, California. Miriam, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead quickly. You're on the Savage Nation.
I'm calling... my husband, he passed away in 2000, and he was from Punjab, Rawalpindi area in Pakistan. And I'm calling today because I think it's time for Muslims in America. Europe is already gone by the wayside. I think American Muslims should speak out because Islam is being in a hostage as well. Because if they get Sharia law like the mullahs and the imams want, like now, my husband stopped going to the Islamic Center in Southern California. As you know, the Islamic Center is all over the United States.
And oh, sure, because we're a land of diversity and freedom.
And
sure, sure, there's plenty of Islamic centers, plenty of Islamic centers funded by Saudi Arabia and other wonderful supporters of the American way of life. And they teach nothing but love in those centers. You know that as well, Miriam.
We are Sunni. But if Muslims don't speak out, they're going to be held accountable for this, and Sharia law will come and cut their necks as well.
Well, yeah, we know that that's, of course, something you can't say. Where is the Council on American-Islamic Relations today? Have they given an official statement, do you know, as a person who went to a mosque? Has the wonderful organization under Ibrahim Hooper, the convert to Islam, has he said anything about the slaughter in India?
Let me tell you this, Mr. Savage. I know you don't know this. Most Americans don't know this that are not Muslim. In the mosque, there's controversy going on how far Sharia law should go when they get it all over the world. And Muslims will realize...
How far to go?
Well,
probably as far as they want, since there's no leadership to stop them.
Well, They'll
hit a stone wall when they try to force Sharia law down the throat of a cracker. That's when they'll find out how far they can go.
Right.
When they find out that America is not Wolf Blitzer. When they find out that America is not made up of those men without private parts on Fox News, they'll find out how far they can go. Let them go try to force Sharia law down the throat of a cracker somewhere. They'll find out how far they can go with their throwback laws. Putting women in burqas and cutting off private parts. That's how far they want to go. What, are they crazy? They live in America. They should follow the laws of America. That's what this country's about. Either become American or get thrown out of the country. That's how I see it. Thanks for the call. Don't get me started because I don't want to get mad today. I made up my mind that when I came in today, I wasn't going to lose my temper. And thus far, I have not lost my temper. When I called Rabbi Krinsky in New York today, after I heard his dignified speech and how constrained he was, I said to him, I was amazed that you didn't have any anger. He said, just because I didn't express it doesn't mean I don't feel it. I said, thank you. I hope I'm as good as you are today on the Savage Nation. And that's all I can say. Slaughtering innocent people like this. Slaughtering them in front of the white. And by the way, according to Israeli sources, the Jewish people were found bound. All they're telling us so far are two things. The men and women who were killed were found bound. And the women died before the men. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you, these practitioners of a religion of peace? Tell me what it tells you. What did they do to the women before they killed the men? If the women actually died, if the room was full of blood, and all of them were bound and dead, but they determined that the women were killed first, what does that tell you was done to the women while the men were alive? Tell me what these fiends and these ghouls did to the women before they killed their husbands. And you tell me this is a political statement? Where do they get people like this? What kind of hatred do they steep into the minds of these children? Into the minds of these children? Who teaches them such hatred for people? Who teaches them such hate? Tell me where they learn it. And tell me why we permit such hate to be taught in the United States of America. Tell me. Tell me why it is permitted in this country that under the guise of diversity, they're allowed to come in here and teach such hatred in this country. Where's the leadership? Where's the leadership? Where's Bush? Where's Obama? Where's anybody? Where's anybody? You're here. I'm here. We took time off from a holiday. Why? Where are they? They can't go to a microphone for a half a minute? For 30 seconds, they can't give you a speech? Where are they? Where are they? Well, where are they? You know where they are. They're there when you don't need them, and when you need them, they're not there. That's where they are. San Francisco, Dave, welcome from KNEW. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. I couldn't believe it myself. I heard it. I guess I predicted it. I could see it coming. I think it was on DWTV, on German TV. I guess a lot of people know what that is. I was watching it out of Berlin there, and the guy said that they're attributing it to disaffected youth, disenfranchised youth.
Oh, yes, the poor Muslim youth who were not given equal opportunity in England.
It's unbelievable. I was listening, you know, it's, I guess.
Well, what do you expect from a pot-smoking, heroin-taking journalist out of Germany? Tell me, do you expect anything more?
Yeah, I watch that channel sometimes just to understand how bad.
No, of course, to understand the rotted mind of the left, you have to watch German news. Because it's not too far removed from our own news, which has been, as you well know, gutted a long time ago, gutted of reality.
I think you're right.
All right, yeah, disenfranchised youth. All right, yeah, disenfranchised youth. Tucson, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, these guys were genius not to execute this attack before the election, because that would have at least given McCain a hair of a chance of winning.
Yeah, absolutely. We all talked about it months ago. That they were holding their fire until after the election because they didn't want America talking about national security and international affairs where McCain was strong. They wanted to make it about the economy. So the story goes that Saudi Arabia and their fellow travelers shorted certain funds in order to bankrupt the economy, in order to make it about the economy, in order to make sure that Obama won. I've heard those stories. As to whether there's any validity to that, I can't tell you. But we do know that we have Obama as a president in waiting. Where is he, though? If he's supposed to be so articulate, why is he not giving a speech calming the American people right now?
Well, I think that's why they executed the attack in India, because Obama has not been sworn in yet. Once Obama is sworn in, I believe the United States homeland is fair game.
Well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't this be fair game right now? I don't follow your logic.
Because George Bush is still calling the shots. Now, when they want to test Obama, they will do it when he is under oath and he's calling the shots. Right now, it's still the ball is still Bush's court.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I didn't think of it that way. Eric, let me send you a copy of Psychological Nudity. I think you'll appreciate it for the holidays. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. I'm going to have to actually leave you at the top of the hour. I have to go to a memorial service for the dead tonight, and to be in solidarity with some people who are frightened tonight, and to show that we're not afraid. And so I'll be leaving a little earlier this evening in order to be with them and in order to make them understand that they're not alone, and that there are people who are grieving for their lost ones, and also to make them understand that they don't have to hide, that we're not living in Nazi Germany. So I'll be leaving you at the top of this hour. Indiana Lloyd, you're on the Savage Nation.
America, Thanksgiving night, last. Fox News, their alleged conservative superhero of radio and broadcast, ranting on about decades-old crap about UFOs and yada, 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 while a major battle in World War III was raging. Why?
Oh, the Wallbanger ran a special on UFOs last night, did he?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's, I'm speechless. I can't believe it. I actually didn't get a chance to watch it. I had a Thanksgiving dinner for about 9 friends in a restaurant. I enjoyed myself. I tried not to watch the news for the few hours. I came home and I didn't turn them on because I couldn't believe that they wouldn't be covering it. I was flipping around just to see whoever was covering the India hostage situation. But why are they being called hostages, by the way, since there have been no demands met? Isn't that the wrong phrase to use for the people who are being slaughtered or who were slaughtered? Why were they calling them hostages? Why did the media immediately call them hostages? Can you figure that one out, Lloyd?
No, victims is what they are, victims.
Well, those are the real victims, you mean, not those who are concerned about gay marriage. They're not the victims. Or the welfare sponges in America. They're not the real victims. No, the victims are the people who were slaughtered in India. That's a real victim. But why do they keep calling them hostages? I didn't hear any of the terrorists say that if you do this or that, we'll release them. Did I miss something somewhere?
No, sir.
No. Stay in the line, Lloyd. Free copy of Psychological Nudity going out to you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, New York City, WOR. Judy, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I want to know why this went on for 3 days and not one peace-loving nation went to their rescue, even if the rabbi and his wife had been killed by a grenade or something else to kill these savages. It would have been better than them getting killed the way that they did.
Well, you're asking a question and you're making a statement. First of all, India is a sovereign nation of 1 billion people. A foreign military can't just show up at the doorstep. The Indian government has to invite them in. You know that, don't you?
No.
What do you mean, no? If we had a problem here, would we want the French to send commandos in by airplane without our permission?
What about Uganda when they had the problem with that boat and Israel went in there and took...
You mean when the plane was held hostage, when the people were held hostage in the airport in Uganda and the Israeli commander? That was a totally different story. First of all, Uganda was a renegade nation, not a sovereign nation of this sort. And so the comparability doesn't work. But secondly, the Indian commandos did a pretty good job. They rappelled down, they blew a hole in the wall, they broke in. What more could they have done?
Well, I want to know...
The people were dead already. They were found bound and dead on the floor. Judy, don't you know that?
Yes, I know that. That I know.
So what could anybody have done? These subhumans had already killed them hours before. Don't you think it's a miracle that the child emerged with blood all over his clothing from beneath his dead mother's body and was found crying in the hallway? Little Moshe Holtzberg? Don't you think that was a miracle?
I do. I really do.
Well, you know, there's a donation online on michaelsavage.com. You can send a check to the Moshe Holtzberg Foundation, 770 Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn, 11213, or you can send it by email by going to my website. I don't touch it. It doesn't go through me. All I can say is send the little child $10 for his future. He has no parents. They were taken from him by these subhumans. That's what I say. You want to give something for Thanksgiving? Give it to him. Let him have something to look forward to. I think this child could have a divine presence in the world for all men. All men. This is a divine story to me that he survived. I was sure they were going to kill this child. In fact, they didn't spare him. They spared nobody. And when you hear they selected... You know, there's a few elements of the story that don't make sense to me. That they went to the desk before anyone was there and had inside men. And they knew where the Americans were and they came and knocked on the doors. And they said, knock, knock, and some didn't answer because they were afraid, and some didn't answer by accident, but they were only seeking Americans and Britons. Well, then how do you explain that they also indiscriminately fired into a restaurant? That the Muslim fanatics also sprayed people in the hotel and in the restaurants, wherever they were? They didn't know who they were. How could it be that they only singled out Americans and Britons? There's a couple of elements that don't make sense here. Did they do both? Did they both single out Americans and Britons and Israelis and Jews and also kill anybody they could? Or did something else happen that we don't know? So there's a little bit more that needs to be, a lot more that needs to be said. But the number one thing that needs to be done is retribution. That's right. Listen to what I just said. We're at war. And whether you know it or not, you're at war. And whether you know it or not, the war is going to touch you again. And if you think 9/11 is over, it's as over as the attack on the World Trade Center was in 1993. It came back again to haunt you in 2001. And it's going to come back again as sure as I'm sitting here. Only next time it's going to be bigger and it's going to be better. And then after that happens, If you think that you're going to be safe, you are mistaken. You are mistaken. It's each man for himself. Protect yourself. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mozart's Requiem on the Savage Nation as a memory to the lost souls killed by the subhumans in India and all over the world. Mozart wrote this, by the way, in memory of his father. Play it up, guys. I want to hear it from it. I want it to flow through my blood. Mozart's Requiem, written by a dead white male. Written by a dead white male. The miracle of Moses in the reeds. The miracle of the little boy Moses who survived the slaughter in Mumbai. The miracle amongst us. This is the Savage Nation. As I said to you, I came in today because I was looking myself for something to hang upon, and there was nothing. I couldn't find it anywhere in the media. Basically, I saw hysteria and I saw foolishness. I waited for President Bush to come down from the mountain of that he lives on. I waited for Obama, the duly elected president of the United States, to say one word to the American people who are sitting and watching in shock, in horror, and he says nothing. Now, they must assume that you're all a bunch of morons because you elected him. I would assume that that's what he's assuming. Since I got elected, they must really be idiots, so there's no point in me saying anything. They're all stampeding into Walmart right now. The only thing going through Obama's head is that he must be figuring out that you're such idiots that you would elect him, a man without any experience whatsoever. So he figures if you're so stupid, you must be shopping today for a television set. There's no point in him speaking. That's the only explanation I can make out of the whole thing. But putting aside my rabid sarcasm and my contempt for the lack of leadership in this country right now, I must tell you again that there is a miracle, and you have to look at that miracle if you can, from a biblical perspective. How do you explain that the subhumans slaughter the Jews, for example, amongst the others? And I am not diminishing the non-Jews. I'm not diminishing the Hindus who were killed. I'm saying to you, how do you account for the fact that six Jews are found tied up and bound on the floor in a sea of blood, and a child walks away unharmed with blood all over his clothing? The quislings in the media tell you that the subhumans released the child, but they're lying to you. The subhumans slaughtered his parents right in front of this child's eyes. Sources in India told the Savage Nation today that this young, innocent religious mother held the little boy in her arms as she was killed. And he crawled out from beneath her with his mother's blood all over his clothing. He was heard crying when his Indian nanny, Sandra Samuel, opened the door from the room in which she herself was hiding and quickly grabbed the child and fled. And I'm going to raise money for Sandra Samuel on Monday when I come back on the Savage Nation. Until that time, God bless America. Pray for the dead.
We are mortally good and low. Licheta yamin venomare amen.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Islamic fanatics have attacked tourists in India. They have taken Americans and British tourists hostage. They have set a landmark hotel, the Taj Hotel, on fire. Screams can be heard in the background. Enormous clouds of black smoke are rising from the century-old edifice on Mumbai's waterfront. The fact of the matter is, India is at war, only you don't know it. And the question to you is, what should the U.S. government do right now? Should the U.S. military be deployed? Should the tribal areas of Pakistan be wiped out and the rats killed in there once and for all? Should we nuke the tribal areas in Pakistan's wild man region and wipe out the terrorists once and for all? Is this a result of Bush's weakness? Is this a result of Bush's catering to Islamic fanatics? Is this a result of the FBI saying you cannot use the word Islamic in relationship to terrorism? Is this a result of Obama's weakness? Is this a result of the financial meltdown? Is this connected in some way to the threat against the New York subway system that we heard about earlier today? Is this retaliation for the pirate attack? Is this some way related to anything other than more of the same, which is Islamic madness against the world? Mad Islamic fanatics taking it out on Hindus, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, anybody but the fanatics. Is this a result of anything other than insanity? I will open up the lines to you on the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255. I want to go back first to some of the history of the problems in India. Let's go all the way back to the biggest troublemaker, one of the biggest troublemakers in human history, Mahatma Gandhi. Now, I know you're shocked when I say that. Many of you don't know that Mahatma Gandhi was one of the most manipulative figures of the last century. Many of you think of a man of peace, a man in pajamas, a man who wanted pacifism. Well, all of that is true on the surface. But if you actually read the man's history, his wife, his daughter, what they had to say about him, if you actually read what resulted from this man's monodimensional pacifism, you'll find out that over a million innocent people in India died when he partitioned India into India and Pakistan. Many of you don't even understand that there was no Pakistan until 1947, but the Muslims were causing so much trouble within Hindu India that he decided to cut off an entire section of India and give it to the Muslims to have peace once and for all. Well, did the Hindus get peace once and for all? No, they got pieces once and for all. There is no such thing as satisfying radical Islam. There is no such thing as making peace with radical Islam. Is this a war that we can win, or is this a war that we can never win? What do you think? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And by the way, I blame the filth in the media. I blame the vermin in the media. I blame the rats in the American media who elected Obama. I blame the vermin in the media who today are saying, let's not rush to judgment. We don't even know if they're Islamic. They may be Hindu. Well, sure, they might even be Jews. They could be a bunch of rabbis running around India, you rats in the media, you. You worthless garbage, you. I have nothing but contempt for the filth in the media. And I hope to God that when you call the show today, you don't give me a mealy-mouthed solution to this problem. There is no negotiating with terrorists. The problem is we don't have a government that will take the forceful measures necessary. That's the question. But some of you have different opinions. That's what makes talk radio great. That's why I'm going to take your calls. 1-800-449-8255. We begin in Las Vegas. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I love you like a brother. Hey, you stole my thunder, Dr. Savage. How can I tell you that, you know, we in the Western world, the United States, I don't see how we're going to win this because we do not have the guts. We don't have the stomach to do the things it takes to be violent enough to fight fire with fire and give these, I mean, basically we need to exterminate them like rats.
And we're so worried about
this. We know where they're coming from. We know they're coming out of the training, at least, is probably coming out of the area where Osama bin Laden is hiding. If we can believe our intelligence agencies, of course, we have no real knowledge as to whether they're really intelligence agencies. They're in the tribal areas of Western Pakistan. What the heck do we have nuclear weapons for? What are tactical nuclear weapons for but to wipe out an enemy? The enemy lives there. Kill them and their families and show them that the terror they inflict on the West will come home to roost and will be inflicted on them. Why must we sit here waiting for the New York subways to go up in flames?
Yes, sir, but what are we going to do instead of what you just said? What we're going to do is we're going to cut our nuclear arsenal. We're going to appease them just as appeasement was done in the 1930s. Everything you're saying we need to do. The administration that's going to take over is everything they're saying, they're going to go in the opposite.
The administration taking over is a Quisling administration, more pacifist than George Bush at his worst. And so this is just the beginning of a long series of terror attacks against America and its allies around the world. Thank you for the call. Phone number 1-800-449-8255. As you can see, my dog is barking in the background. Even he can't take the anxiety. 1-800-449-8255. We go to New York. Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, we know to go. We got to go straight in there. We got to go in like if it was 1942 because they're dipping their foot in the water. They're testing the water. What's going to happen in this country next 2-3 years? We got to be the Knights Templar of our time. We got to go in there strong.
Yeah, go in where, though? Go in where?
We got to go help the Indian people. These are the people we have to help.
Well, India has a very powerful army. India has a very powerful navy. As you know, they're the only ones who took on the pirates, while our commander-in-chief was after the pirate ship. The fact of the matter is our navy is impotent. It doesn't even know how to fire a gun anymore.
We need to show...
So where are we going to go? We're going to go... Who's we? Who is we? Who's going to go in?
That's the problem.
Don't you understand that this is a result of the power vacuum in the West? Because we have a bunch of corrupt degenerates running this country. As witness the financial meltdown, we have a military meltdown, a financial meltdown. Everywhere you turn, there is no leadership. There's nothing but corruption, and there's nothing but evil. And it reflects on our military. It reflects on the financial meltdown is a result of corruption and weakness. Has anyone gone to jail for what they have done? Answer, no. Has anyone given up any of the assets for stealing the pensions of little old ladies on Wall Street? The answer is no. Because Bush is behind it. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the one who's letting the Islamic fanatics go wild all over the world. In my humble opinion. New York, Sal, you're next. Go ahead, please.
Yes, since we didn't do anything with the pirates, they're moving in on India now, and it's almost like Biden said that test for Obama, that Bush is just going to sit back and dump this in his lap.
In whose lap?
In Obama's lap.
Well, where is Obama today? Has he said anything about this? All he did was hire Clinton Eastis to run the financial world after telling the morons who elected him that he promised change. The change they got was he's a doorman for the Clinton Eastis. That's the change they got. They got nothing but a lie. So what is he going to do about the Islamic fanatics in India? The answer is probably nothing.
That's right. And he wouldn't even answer the question about appointing the old Clinton guard into his cabinet.
But I was the first one in the media to start saying he's a doorman for the Clinton administration. I've been saying it from the day I saw the appointees. And finally, the media caught on and said, okay, Mr. Obama, how come you're appointing so many so many Clintonistas when you promised change and he ducked it? Of course he ducked it, because he's just a front man for other powers. You understand that. But let's put him aside. What is he going to say about this? He's supposed to be the great savior. He's supposed to be the great articulate leader. How come he hasn't said anything about this in India? Because what happens in India, what happens in Bombay, very much affects what happens to you in New York City or to you in Los Angeles or to me in San Francisco. We're all one world now, aren't we? And if we're going to let the Islamic fascists get away with this in India, they're going to do it to us here because they smell weakness. And one thing they understand is how to exploit weakness. This is the Savage Nation phone number, 1-800-449-8255. Give us a call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
food thing now. People like that segment, but it's true because it's real. I go to my favorite Chinese, the one that doesn't feel like I just ate crazy glue when I leave. You know what I'm saying? That's how I judge Chinese restaurants. Either it's either a CG or a non-CG. Not MSG anymore. It's crazy glue. Because the real bad ones, you walk out, your lips stick together, you start to talk like Bonnie Tang. The average Chinese restaurant you leave today, because of the bishop, you get to sound like Bonnie Tang. So I go to my favorite place where it's not like a crazy glue sauce. And the food was excellent, but I noticed something. If I order the seafood clay pot in this place, which I did, they cut back on the seafood by the number of shrimp, and they added tofu, which I hate. I can't stand fried tofu. I hate it. I don't like tofu to begin with. What's with the tofu? The reason they ate tofu is they didn't have meat. What do you think they ate tofu for a million years in China? Or 2,000, 5,000? What do you think is better for you? You believe that baloney? The rich ones ate meat when they can get their hands on it, or a duck or a fish. It was the poor, the peasants in the field. You let them eat tofu. So now I have to engage myself. Like, the point is, though, they're cutting back on the protein. I went to another place, a cheaper Chinese restaurant, local. And it's another, the dim sum that I ordered before the meal. Normally it was four pieces in an order. Now it was three. I said, wait a minute, am I imagining? Because if you're eating with someone, you get two each. So now you each have one, and already I'm a fast eater. I want the next one before the person I'm eating with already ate the first. I want the third. And it's gone. You don't know what to do. You can't split a dim sum in half. It sticks to the chopstick. What I'm getting at is they're cutting back. It's like three-quarter value now. So I'm cooking at home more. In fact, I had fun this morning. I bicycled to a food implement store, like these fancy stores that won't be in business soon, with stuff that nobody needs, you know, kitchen items that nobody wants or needs. My mother had a kitchen with a few pots in it and pans with four burners, an electric stove, in a tiny kitchen. In fact, you can see a picture of it in a previous book of mine. She could knock out five restaurant meals for one at one sitting on those little electric burners with aluminum pots. And wonderful, incredible meals, complicated. Today you go into a house, a $10 million kitchen that's never been cooked in. Never been. In fact, if someone cooked in it, they might have to renovate the kitchen. The average house in Tiburon, California, are you kidding me? Huh. What, are you kidding? We don't cook in here. We just do freebase in here. Yeah. So the point is, I'm cooking at home more. So I go to this food implement store, and I bought something for myself that I've wanted for 20 years. It's not that it's expensive. It's just that I haven't gotten around to. You know what it is? Funny. It's like a kitchen weight, a cast iron weight that you put on top of a piece of chicken or a hamburger, so while it's cooking, the fat goes out of it. You know what I'm talking about? I've always wanted one. To me, that was like a cooking advanced cooking, to have one of those. Anyone had like a kitchen weight? Because ever since I was a kid in Queens, if I would go to the luncheonette for a hamburger for lunch, I have to make this admission. I did have hamburgers at one point in my life. I know it's a crime against BO's administration. But they'd always have like on the griddle, the weight to push the fat out into the. So I bought one of those, and to go with it, then there was an Italian thing that they were selling on the same order that was not cast iron. It was like 10 pounds, a circle of stainless steel, and it was like an Italian. They couldn't sell them, though. Everyone wanted the small guy. It's a big round one that you sit on top. You put it on top of two steaks or on top of a chicken. You can make mate chicken, which is unbelievable. You cook in the weight, and then as it's cooking, the fat runs out. So I bought those things. They're in the boxes and the plastic, and I'll never use them. But I did it because I actually am starting to cook home more and more. I'll give you three reasons why I'm cooking home more and more. A, I hate driving. B, living in the Bay Area, I cannot stand listening to the drivel coming out of the mouths of moronic liberals. C, I don't want to hear the word Obama while I'm eating. I want to puke. I can't. I start to boil. I don't want to hear it. D, they're cutting back on the good protein. E, I don't know whether they're using melamine in some of the protein. D, I don't know how much of the produce or the garlic comes from China. I tend to buy only local. Northern California produced everything from garlic to onions to carrots. It's got to be organic. I'll not buy any vegetable that's not noted. Its country of origin is not known. And restaurants, I don't know where it's. They don't know where it's coming from at all. And you don't have to drive. You can drink more. And plus, it's more interesting to eat at home. Why is it more interesting? I could watch a movie, or I could watch nothing. I could sit in silence. Who says you have to talk during a meal? You know, it's another thing I don't understand. Why do people scream in certain restaurants? There's a fish joint in San Francisco that's actually, it's been around forever. It's on California Street. I don't even remember the name of it. Very famous, mainly tourists and like people who went to dumb schools like Harvard and Yale and prep schools, the way they learned to be morons and rob people. People without a conscience and without a soul basically go in there with bow ties. I've lived here for, I don't know how many years, 74, 84, over 30 years living in Gomorrah here, Sodom and Gomorrah. I've always walked past it. I've always looked in, and it always looks like a Good Time Charlie fish restaurant, like a New York fish house. But I don't go in because every time I do, it's so noisy, the noise blows you out of the door. But I ate there last week. It was good. Except the noise was horrible, so I had to take the food home halfway through the meal. The question is, why do people scream in restaurants? Grown-ups. Is this an example of like children who grew up without any parental controls? Am I looking at this now? It must be, like people in their 40s, now that I think about it. They were raised by hippie parents, and they don't understand you don't have to scream in a restaurant. Who knows? What am I talking about here? What's the difference? But how come my mother could cook so well on four electric burners and a little stove with aluminum foil underneath the... She put aluminum foil underneath the electric grate so it wouldn't stain the stove. You hear this? She had to preserve a stove that must have cost $92. But when you went in that woman's house, the little refrigerator, you couldn't walk past the stove, by the way. If she was cooking the little pantry kitchen, it was an embarrassment because do I have to spell it out for you the way people kiss in Northern California, the Marin kiss with the hips back in case someone should mistake with the... So to walk through the kitchen while your mother was cooking was an impossibility. It was the same with the dining room. The dining room was so small. God bless her. When she opened that up for Thanksgiving and you had 12 people around it, you risked a hernia, a rupture. You didn't know what you were going to do.
Savage. Get.